Hi, and welcome to our service. If you're new here, you may be wondering who we are and what this church is all about. Well, the heart of the matter is this. We're a group of people doing our best to love God and love those around us. One of the ways we express this love is through worship, because our God is truly amazing. He created everything, great and small, and His love for us is incredible, powerful, and completely unconditional. We also spend time looking into His Word, the Bible, and receive practical teaching to guide us along His path in our everyday lives. But it doesn't end when the service is over. Throughout the week, we gather in groups to serve, pray, reach out to our community, and sometimes just to hang out and have fun. Life is full of challenges, and none of us are perfect. But we believe that's one of the reasons God has brought us together. We're all here to help and support each other through each step of life's journey, because nobody should have to travel alone. So thanks for joining us today. No matter who you are, we want you to know you are welcome.
And worship with you all. I'm so excited. You know, it is such an awesome privilege to not only be able to walk into the presence of God, but to do it with confidence and with boldness, like the word says. Amen. And not because of anything that we did, but because Jesus is just that good and because He gave us that right as His children. Amen. Hallelujah. Are you ready to stir up your faith with some praise this morning? Hallelujah. Come on, clap with me. This morning, because you deserve it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. We believe that you are who you say you are. We believe every single word that is written in the Word of God is true, and it applies to us this morning. Do you believe that? Hallelujah. Come on, clap with me. Water. Into wine, you open the eyes of the blind. There's no one like you, not like you. Come on, sing aloud. Into the darkness you shine, and out of the
is healer, awesome in power, our God.
Oh, I feel like if we really believed those words, we would be rejoicing so much, so much more right now. Come on, if we really believe that he's our healer this morning, if we really believe that we can go to him and ask him for anything and that he would grant it to us, how much more passionate would we be about our God this morning? Come on, you're in the presence of an almighty living God. Hallelujah. Come on, sing it.
Our God is greater. Our God is stronger. God, you are higher than any other. Our God is healer, awesome in power. Our God, oh, our God. Our God is greater. Our God is stronger.
Immerse me, immerse me, and not anymore. I need you, Lord. I need you, Lord. I need you. I need you.
Tell him. Just you and Jesus. Come on, talk to him.
I need you, Lord. I need you, Lord.
We worship you, Jesus. God, you're so good. Thank you so much. We worship you. Thank you for loving us, Jesus. Whatever you want to do, Jesus. We're just glad you're here. Thank you so much for loving us. We need you. We need you. We pray for revelation knowledge, Jesus. God, we pray that you help us understand how much we do need you. And Lord, that we'll start growing in a deeper relationship with you. Father, that can only come as it's revealed spiritually. So Holy Ghost, we ask in the name of Jesus that you'll reveal even the deep things of God to us. That you'll start unfolding things in our spirit realm, in the spirit man, that we will start understanding. We pray for understanding in the spirit. God, we may walk differently, talk differently, handle life differently. That Jesus, people will say, I don't know what it is about you, but man, I know what your life is like right now, and everything seems to be going wrong, but you just keep smiling, laughing, and whistling. God, I thank you that we can have the joy of the Lord, because the joy of the Lord is that place of the Holy Spirit. I praise you, God, that we can have a peace that passes all understanding. I thank you, God, that you can heal bodies right now in Jesus' name. We declare the very covenant of God over each and every person that's in this house and watching by live stream. We declare, God, in Jesus' name, not one will be lost for the glory of heaven. We declare, God, no sickness, no disease, no maiming, no wounding, and no growth that have no place in our body. We declare by his stripes we were healed. God, we are the healed of heaven. God, we thank you that we are delivered. That Jesus, there's not one addiction. There's not one thing that could hold us down. But we are free and free indeed. And we thank you, God, that we'll prosper in all things. And be in good health, even as our soul prospers. Jesus, I just give you honor and praise for being part of your family. Thank you. Thank you for calling us sons and daughters. Thank you that we have divine purpose. Thank you, Jesus, that you've not left us alone, but you said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. I'll be with you to the end of the Lord, end of the world. Lord, I thank you, Jesus, for answers. You are a great God and greatly to be praised. And we honor you this morning in the name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen. Amen. On your way back to your chair, can you say hi to three or four folks you don't know? Can you be nice and kind to folks? Go to meet somebody you don't know this morning. I know everybody likes to go to who they know, but go to somebody you don't know. Shake their hand and say, good morning. I just want to meet you. My name is...
Good morning. My name is...
Mine's Larry.
Good morning, His Tabernacle. It's time to head back to your seats and get ready for this morning's announcements.
Want to encourage you to join us for our Next Step classes. They're going to help you grow in your faith and build a firm foundation. We offer these classes all throughout the week, Tuesdays at 7 p.m. at the Horseheads campus, Wednesdays at 9 a.m. at the Horseheads campus, and Thursdays at 6 p.m. both at the Horseheads and Ithaca campus. Find a time that works for you and we'll see you this week.
Are you new here? Do you ever wonder about what your purpose and the place is here in the church? Well, I want to invite you to join us every Sunday morning from 9:30 to 10:30 for Growth Track. Growth Track is a four-week class which will help explain to you who we are and who you are. So join us next Sunday, 9:30 a.m.
We have an exciting opportunity for you this summer. Love Week is happening June 13th through the 15th. We're going to be volunteering at over 15 places across our region, from Elmira and Horseheads to Ithaca and Corning. We have the chance to impact thousands of people through places like Habitat for Humanity and the Food Bank of the Southern Tier. The week starts off with a rally on Thursday night at 6 p.m. Come for some food, fun, games, and an amazing time of empowerment as we get filled up and ready to go love on people and show the love of Christ through our actions. You can find more details or register online or email me at outreach@histabernacle.com. I am so excited for this. I hope you are too. Let's get ready to love.
Good morning, His Tabernacle Family Church. Isn't it awesome to be in the house of God this morning? He always shows up in power with hungry hearts. Amen. We would like to welcome our live stream family. It is such an awesome opportunity to know that we do not just bring the word of God to the people within the four walls of this building, but that it's even going out into the nations. And God always extends the reach of those that honor him in every word and in every action. So it's an honor to participate with a house that operates that way. Amen? Amen. So if you're a guest in the house this morning, we'd like to ask you to raise your hand. We would like to bring you a gift bag with a great gift in it. Also, if after service you are able to come over to this side of the building, we have a guest reception room. We would really love to have an opportunity to meet you, to put a face to your name. There are great snacks in there and just some fun fellowship. We'll have an opportunity to tell you about some of the great things that we have going on here at His Tabernacle. So this week alone, we have two really just God-minded, God-handed things happening here at His Tabernacle. And the first thing is another opportunity for you to grow in the Word. How many of you are hungry for the Word of God? Amen. And God has given us through the word every equipping for every good work that leads unto salvation. Amen. And so step three this week begins at 6 p.m. on Thursday. That is spiritual authority. God has called you to be a powerful people. The church is his number one answer to every question, every need, every desperation that the world has. So we need to know how to operate in spiritual authority. Can I hear an amen? So on Thursday night at 6 p.m., you are invited to come out. If you've already taken Rock Solid Faith, if you've already done step two, come on out to step three and participate with that. Secondly, we begin grand opening of the His Tabernacle Mansfield Campus this coming Sunday. One of the things that I love about the vision of this house, and I was here 21 years ago when the vision was just begun. And I remember walking with Pastor Spencer and we were checking out a building, and I was so excited. I wasn't even planning to stay here in the area. And I heard the vision of His Tabernacle, that it wasn't just about the four walls of our church, but it was reaching our community and beyond. And it's so cool to stand here 21 years later to see that we just opened His Tabernacle Ithaca campus, and now next week we have the privilege and the honor of opening up His Tabernacle Mansfield campus. So we're just so blessed at God's awesome provision. So please be with us in celebration for that. I would like to invite Pastor Rhonda up. She's going to lead us in the worship that we do through our tithes and our offerings.
Amen. First, I want to thank all of those that helped and participated with the 18th annual bike blessing yesterday. We were able to give the gospel and pray over people and pray over this season of riding. It was a phenomenal turnout, and we appreciate this house so much because you are laborers for the kingdom of God. And we love that we get to pastor a group of laborers for the kingdom. So I have been busy doing some extra stuff, and how could I not? You know, God has given me life and breath, and so with every breath that I have, I just want to be able to serve God and do as much as I can for him. So I've combined with Linda Shooter from South Africa, and we are doing a magazine, Lady Rose Magazine. So she's been doing this magazine for 3 years in South Africa. It has a reach of over 10,000 women in South Africa already. And we are launching the very first USA copy of the Lady Rose Magazine with our writers from local and all over the United States. United States. Pastor Andrea is one of our writers. She's a published writer in here. And Susan Carberry is one of our writers. Tammy Sumi's daughter. Mom Pat Avanzini, some writings you can't get anywhere else. Donna Shelton, Pastor Rick Shelton's wife, has a published article in here. So many great testimonies from preachers and just women. This is a magazine for ladies that will encourage you with testimonies and the Word of God. So we're super excited to be able to say Lady Rose has officially launched in the United States, and you're able to subscribe to this magazine from my website, RhondaJSpencer.com. You can subscribe right on there, and the magazines will come right to your house. It's a quarterly magazine, so four times a year. So much you'll be able to just encourage yourself with each day. So make sure you get a hold of that and sign up. I know you'll be seeing lots of Facebook promotion. Yes, there are some in the foyer. I really just wasn't going to announce that. There are some in the foyer, but I prefer that you go on and subscribe. So yes, Pastor Spencer, they are available, but only a very few. I don't even know how many are left actually in the foyer. So there are a few, but our subscribers got first copies. So as we enter into this time of tithes and offerings, I love that we get to talk about finances in the house of God. Jesus talked about money more than any other topic in the New Testament when he walked on this earth. So it's something that makes your life go round. It is something that you spend most of your time either earning or spending or paying. So it's something we need to talk about in the house of God, because God wants his children blessed. So I want to read to you or speak from Luke 11:42 today is the passage that we're going to turn to. And this is red letter. This is Jesus actually speaking. And he's speaking about the Pharisees, that they tithe their mint and rue and every little herb. So they paid attention to the tithe in such detail, right down to the littlest portion. And then he said, but you disregard the laws of love. And he says, these things you ought to do without discarding the other. So he's telling us, Jesus himself, you ought to tithe every little detail. And the word tithe is simple. It's 10% of our income. This is his teaching. And this is what he shares with us that we ought to do. Luke 11 verse 42. Now I have a testimony to go along with this. I love how God works. There's a woman in the church who had been tithing. She's been a tither her whole life, but she committed to God that she wanted to tithe 50. This little girl is so excited about tithing. She is like ready to run and put her envelope in first this morning. Awesome. We should all have that same heart to give to our God. So this lady in the church, she committed to giving 15% to God. And she had for years. Well, something happened where she stopped giving 15%. She still gave her 10%. But she was sitting in a service a few weeks back, and the Spirit of God reminded her of her commitment to 15%. And she felt conviction, so she went home, and every little piece that she had missed, she went through, and she added it up, and she put that in the offering, and that hurt. That hurt because it had been some months. She put that in the offering, and that very same week, this is how God works, her work called her in and said, you have been doing such a fantastic job. We want to give you a substantial raise in your weekly income. Hallelujah. You cannot outgive God. His love is so awesome and so perfect. But his word tells us, Luke 11:42. This we ought to do. So if you're ready to do what we ought to do this morning, stand to your feet. We're going to make our supernatural declaration over our finances. And this is found in Deuteronomy 28. And if you'll repeat after me, it says, if I obey, then I am blessed going in and I am blessed going out. I am blessed in my storehouse, and I am blessed in my basket. The blessings have chased me down. They've tripped me up. a child of God. I'm blessed. I'm blessed. Come on and give your tithes and offerings this morning. If you're watching via live stream, you can click on the giving button. Give right along with us. You can even text to give.
God is shaken. We will not be moved. Jesus, you are.
Good morning, everybody. How are we doing today? Four of you are doing okay. That's fantastic. How are the rest of you? All right, there you go. Now everyone's great. So at this time, we want to honor the veterans who have served and have fallen, as in Memorial Day is tomorrow. So I want to invite you to stand up and join us for a moment of silence, followed by us singing God Bless America. God bless America, land that I love. Stand beside her and guide her through the night with the light from above. From the mountains to the prairies to the oceans white with foam, God bless America, my home sweet home. My home, sweet home.
Hallelujah. We live in the greatest country of the world. Can I hear an amen? We really do. We're very blessed. I don't know if you've been watching now in Nigeria. People that have been going to church, they've been going in and killing them by the droves in Nigeria just because they're born again. In Central America, a lot of Christians now are being martyred and killed just simply because they love Jesus. And I don't know about you, we're just very blessed to live in a country. And I know that everybody has their opinions and issues and likes and dislikes about a lot of things. But bottom line, we can meet here today and not worry about it. Can I hear an amen? We are very, very, very blessed. And I just want to thank God for America. Can you give God a thank you for America? There was a family that was in suburban America. And one night something happened horrifically in their house that they had never expected, and a fire had broken out in the kitchen. And it started raging through the house, and the father was on the first floor, so he ran out to the front, but his son couldn't make it down the stairs, so had to go to the roof. The only place that he could be safe, the only place that he could find to escape was to the roof.
As he's on the roof, the billowing of the black smoke and the flames that are starting to rage and fly up out of the windows, the heat right on his face and on his feet, the fear that started to grip his life, he started calling out, "Dad!" His son. "Son, I'm right here. I'm over here. Come on, jump." For Dad knew the only way to save his son was that if his son would jump and he'd catch him, second story or not, he'd do whatever he had to do to make sure that his son would be safe. "Son, I'm right here. Jump." "Dad, I can't see you." "Son, jump. You have to jump." "But Dad, the smoke is so thick, I can't see you." And his father called out, "You don't have to see me, because I see you." Today I want you to know something. As we're going to start talking about faith, you don't have to see God, he sees you. You see, God is for you and not against you. Can I hear an amen? God is on your side and God believes in you. God has a plan for you. Today I want to start talking about next level faith. You see, each one of us have to come to a place where we have to trust God. There are times we're going to have to jump off that roof. There are times when everything is catastrophically collapsing around us that we're going to have to trust God enough to do and jump with all that we have and know that God's going to catch us. I want you to know today that God loves you. Can you turn to someone and say, "God loves you"? Well, that didn't sound exciting at all. I said, turn to someone and say, "God loves you." Have some conviction in your heart. Say, "God loves you." Today, you're going to learn three things. Number one, you're going to learn there's a collision between two different worlds. Number two, that God has a plan. He saved you not just to make you successful when you get to heaven, but God saved you to be successful in both worlds. And number three, I want to talk to you about the currency, the laws of heaven that bring heaven to earth. Whether we realize it or not, when you became born again, everything changed in your life. Can I hear an amen or oh my? The Bible makes a declaration, and that's the verse we're going to use today. It's found in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7. "For we walk by faith and not by sight." You see, there are two worlds, whether you realize it or not. People that are not born again usually don't. We have the natural world, which is contacted and interfaced by what we call our senses. When you go outside today, you're going to feel the sun, and you're going to say, "The sun feels hot." It really is just warm. But warm. Very good answer. You put your finger on the stove, your body says hot. You are in the middle of winter, the snow is starting to fly and the wind is starting to blow and it's minus 10. Your senses say cold. Somebody says something bad behind your back and you hear it and you go, ugh. All of these are the sensories. We see, I don't know about you, I'm happy right now about our 5 a.m. 5 a.m. now, it's light out. And you can look out the windows and you can see the birds and we got this cardinal that knocks on our window at 5 a.m. No, I mean talking like literally doesn't knock, but literally flies up and hits the window and bounces off and then keeps doing that until we get out of bed and give the stupid bird food. But I see that, and it brings a response to me. You see, we live in a natural world where our senses are activated, and that's how we interact, and we are able to interface with the world, the natural world that we belong to. Now, if you're not born again, that's literally the world that consumes your life. That is the world that owns you. But the Bible says, when you confess the Lord Jesus Christ, believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. The moment you became born again, everything changed in your life. The Bible says you went from death to life, from darkness to light. The moment you became born again, what happened was you became the temple of the Holy Spirit. At that very moment, you now are no longer temporal, but you are eternal. Now listen, those who don't know Christ are eternal also, but what happens when you're born again through Jesus, you now become alive to Christ and dead to sin. You see, there's a change, a transformation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. All, you are a new creation in the Lord Jesus Christ. The laws of the Spirit are different from the laws of the natural. There is a collision that consistently happens. Whether you like it or not, there are laws at work whether you believe in them or not. You don't have to believe in gravity, but you step off the plane, it's going to happen. Amen. You might not believe in different laws, but whether you like them or not, they're going to happen. Whether you believe, whether you accept them, well, I don't believe it. It doesn't matter. And whether you like it or not, there are laws in the Spirit that whether you like them or not, they are active and they are working. And today I want to talk to you about the collision between the two worlds. You see, when you became born again, you are no longer that same person. You now are a spiritual person. That's why we call it the natural world and the supernatural world. Why is it called supernatural? Because you see the word natural in there, but the word super is there, which means above. When you became born again, you became above the natural world. Things changed in your life that now you have God's world working in your world. Listen, we all believe this. We pray it. Ready? Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on as it is in heaven. How in the world do you bring heaven to earth? I want you to see this. The two different worlds, the two different realms have a different level or different ways that they work. Here's the collision. The collision is when we as natural people try to get heaven to react to how we think it should be. The other collision that is absolutely phenomenal is that God has given you and I, as supernatural sons and daughters, you and I as people of faith, you and I as heaven and access thereof, you and I as having authority over the power of the devil, you and I having the authority in Jesus' name in three realms, above the earth, below the earth, and on the earth. We are people that are powerful ambassadors of Christ. And we as people of God have the ability to supernaturally, through the laws of God, bring change to the natural. The thing is the natural will never change the supernatural, but the supernatural can change the natural. Now, the supernatural, when it comes to the earth, literally takes what's normalcy, takes what would be scientific and scientifically able to be produced, and God can say, well, listen, and he changes it completely. How is he able to do that? Because the natural world in heaven is super to that of the natural world on earth. Now the problem is there are a lot of believers who are striving to apply the laws of the natural world to the laws of the spirit world. Here's the problem with that. The laws of the natural world will never change anything in the spirit world, but the laws of the natural world can cancel the supernatural. So this is where many believers are. We're sitting back and we're in this great collision in the spirit. We're in this great collision of our life. We know that we have to walk here. We know that we have to occupy till he comes. We know we have to have jobs. We know we have families. We know that at times sickness comes. We know that we have trials and tribulations. But listen, I do want to qualify this. Jesus Christ will never take what he redeemed you from to use against you in the natural realm. He will never bring sin. Listen now, he will never tempt you with sin. James chapter 1. There is not one sin that will ever come in your life that so you will be able to say that God brought it in your life to teach you, to train you, to develop you. No sin will God ever use. God will never use sickness and disease. By his stripes you were healed. Not might be healed, not could be healed. By his stripes you were healed. and then God will bless you in finances. And that is the prosperity principle that is found. I pray that you'll be prosperous in all things and be in good health, even as your soul prospers. You see, these things God will never use against you. But what's happened is, as believers, we go through life and trials and tribulations come our way, and we try to handle them in the natural realm instead of the spiritual realm. And I want you to realize this. How many of you realize you can't control the natural realm? How many of you, one moment in your life, everything was stable, the next minute, everything was chaos? One minute you had control, the next minute you were out of control. One minute everything seemed perfect, and the next minute catastrophic events happened in your life, and you're sitting back and going, how in the world did that even happen? What's amazing to me as believers, God is teaching us how to walk by faith, walk by faith, walk by, come on now, walk by faith and not by sight. Now you see, I want you to see this. When you walk by faith, you're walking by the supernatural principles of the laws of God. When you're walking by sight, you're walking by your senses. Now the problem with that is, when you start walking by sight, you will never have stability in your life. Everything is going to constantly change. Personalities change. Economies change. Situations change. And we're going to be constantly on this, what we call, roller coaster ride with Jesus. God has never called you to be unstable. God has never called you into his kingdom just to make it to heaven. But God has left you here on earth to do the will of God. How many of you know this is not heaven? How many of you know this is not hell? Amen. You and I are called here and anointed to do the will and the work of God. But we cannot do the work of God if we're constantly living in the sensory realm. If we're constantly making decisions in the sensory realm. We've got to make decisions that if we are truly supernatural people, we are saved by the blood of Jesus. We are possessed by the Holy Ghost who brooded over the earth at creation. We are the people of God, not the people of the earth. We have a new calling and a new erection in the Spirit, to where we've never been before in the spirit realm. It's time to recognize that if you start to walk in the spirit, you will not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. There is a currency of heaven. There is laws that are in heaven that when trials come in your life, if you try to apply them, nothing is going to happen. And this is the trial. Many believers are in this middle of collision, to where we're trying to get God to do something out of our sensory realm, and it's not going to happen. We walk by faith and not by, we walk by and not by, come on now, we walk by and we walk not by. There is governing principles that will never change no matter how much you want them to. So we've got to be people that understand. Sadly enough, I find there are a lot of believers that have enough faith to be saved, but that's about it. You know, we're in a quandary in America. You know, there's a real problem in America, in American churches, and it's really only happened after the last 50 years or so. And that is, now the average Christian only goes to church one out of every 3 weeks. When you start talking about going to another class to learn, that's not something they do. In fact, the average Christian does not pick up their Bible throughout the entire week. You find most believers are no longer going to prayer meetings and no longer doing any of these factors. Now you see the power of prayer, that's where faith is released. We're in this position in America where what you feed grows, what you starve dies. And we have many believers that are in this collision in the spirit. They're in this collision between the natural world and the supernatural world. But they're feeding more in the natural than they are in the spirit. And then they're wondering where God is. I want you to realize this. Your help comes from above, not below. When the enemy comes at you one way, he's going to have to flee seven ways. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. You've been made more than a conqueror through Christ Jesus our Lord. But the issue is not that all those things are not true. The issue is, how are you applying the laws of God? How are you applying the economy of God? How are you applying the currency of heaven? These principles that will bring heaven to earth, not try to bring earth to heaven. Until you realize this, you're going to constantly struggle. And this is called living the life of faith. You see, as a believer, you've been called into dual citizenship. When you got saved, how many of you are alive today? That always makes me happy when you raise your hand. Glory to God. You're alive today. You're a citizen on earth. You're a citizen of the natural realm. But I want you also to realize you have dual citizenship. When you accepted Christ, you became a citizen of the kingdom of God. When you became born again, you became a son of God and a daughter of God, an heir of God, a joint heir of Jesus. You became an ambassador of heaven. At that very moment when you accepted Christ as your Savior, you went from death to life. I'm talking literal. There's a transition. You are no longer the same human being. Isn't that an exciting thing? Can I hear an amen? But what happens is you can be born again, but still live right here at the level of faith that it took to get saved and never learn how to walk by faith. And until you learn to walk by faith, you are going to constantly struggle because your eyes are focused more on circumstances than the Word of God. You know, one of the real challenges right now in American church is that most believers do not believe the Bible. They believe the parts that they like. They believe the parts that they can understand. They believe the parts that they can control. But I'm here to tell you today, God's word, every jot and every tittle is yea and amen. There's not one thing that will pass away. It is the truth, and the truth will make you free. It's time to get back to the word of God as believers. And you see, this is why the enemy tries to keep people out of church. They say to me all the time, Pastor, you're just trying to get people to church, aren't you? That's all you're trying to do, just trying to fill the church. You just want a big church. Absolutely want a big church. Why do I want a big church? Because that means there's a lot of people. What do you mean a lot of people? That means there's a lot of people going to heaven. A lot of people hearing the word. When you got a small church, now listen, don't despise small beginnings. Our church started with 5 people. You don't despise small beginnings, but it's got to grow. Can I hear an amen? Anything that's healthy grows. Yep. Pastor Dan's launching that church next week down in Mansfield. We have our faith level is to no less than 100 souls by Christmas. Yep. Our declaration over Ithaca is no less than 200 souls by Christmas. And God is adding. Why is God adding? Because we are invoking spiritual laws onto the natural world that will bring change to the natural world because it's spiritual and supernatural. Where if we try to just do things in the natural realm, we're not going to see the same evidence manifested. As a believer, so many of us live by circumstances. That's the natural realm. Say this with me. I walk by faith. And not by sight. Say it this way. I walk by the word. The laws of God. And not by my sight. My circumstances. My senses. My three-dimensional world. Think about that. We put more stock in a three-dimensional world than an eternal world. And this is where that shift comes in the spirit. This is where you and I bring change to our life, because when we start applying and understanding and believing that God's word is yea and amen, then we go from living by circumstances and we go to walking by faith. Now, if anybody ever said this was easy, I want you to know that this is going to be the challenge of your life. But many believers never get even to the challenge. We confess our circumstances. First thing we do, we get up in the morning. How do you feel? I feel crappy. Whether you like it or not, that's a circumstance. What does the word say? By his stripes you were healed. You see, you're saying, no, Pastor, I don't want to be a liar. Well, listen, you heard us preach a message two and a half years ago when my wife was dealing with cancer, and it was this, that truth trumps facts. It doesn't matter what your facts are. It matters what the truth is. For the truth will make you free, not your facts. So the truth is the Word of God. The more you know the Word, the more you can rely upon the Word, the more you can have faith in the Word. Who is the Word? Jesus is the Word that became flesh and dwelt among us. You see, Christ is the Word of God. When you understand the Word, then you start recognizing, I can put faith, trust, I can believe what God says, even over the senses that I feel. This is the challenge of Christianity, because we've been so ingrained in believing by walking by sight. We walk by our circumstances. Listen, there are people in this room, you've made decisions because of a circumstance that came up in your life, and now you've got problems. The Bible says these are the children of God who are led by the Spirit of God, not by your circumstances. We make decisions every single day about by what's surrounding us. The steps of a righteous man are ordered of the Lord, not your circumstances. Well, you know, this happens. Listen, here's my favorite, right? You need rock solid faith if you don't understand this. Well, Lord, I'm waiting for an open door. The devil can open a door just as quick as God can. I know, isn't it funny? Or here's my favorite. Lord, I'm going to put out a fleece. Listen, you start putting out fleeces, you're going to get fleeced. Because these are the children of God who are led by the Spirit of God, not by fleeces, not by circumstances, not by open and closed doors. You see, we start to learn how to walk by faith and not by sight, where our sense realm is not stronger than the spirit realm. And this is the challenge that we have, because we have to make decisions. We rejoice over our circumstances. How many of you have been happy? How many were at the bike blessing yesterday? It was just a great day. It was absolutely beautiful. Man, I was excited about that. But I want you to realize that if you're rejoicing over a bike blessing, that's nice, but that's a circumstance, and it could have changed in a millisecond. But I rejoice in the Lord always, and again, I say rejoice. Because I have breath in my lungs, I'm going to give God praise and I'm going to give him glory. You see, when you understand the scripture, when you understand the word of God, when you understand eternal principles, it's not just you surviving on this planet, but you can learn how to thrive by activating heaven on earth instead of allowing earth to always tear you down, control your life, live it for you. It's time to let Christ live through you by allowing the word of God to be powerful, supernatural, and allowing God to show his laws through your life. Are you out there this morning? Our circumstances control our life. Some people aren't here today because of circumstances. They get up to come to church. The kids started whining. And so now they're not here. Literally a message that will either bring them over from the natural realm to the supernatural realm, or they'll remain in constant discouragement. This message that is before them, they chose to abandon because of a circumstance. Somebody said to me once, well, I had a flat tire. Let me tell you something. If you had a flat tire and somebody was offering you $1 million to make it there on time, I don't know, but I know this, you'd make it there on time. See, we allow circumstances to become greater than the biblical principles, the laws of God, the currency of heaven. We allow faith to be diminished because we allow circumstances to be a greater Lord. When you and I start doing this, we do this. God, now, goes from big G to small g. I don't know what I feel anymore. I don't know what I want to do anymore. So, Lord, I'm just not going to do anything. I'm so depressed. I'm not sure how I feel. Censoring. God, you saw what happened. You saw how bad it was. Lord, there is no hope. Tell you something. You start serving your senses, you will never, ever, ever have sanity and peace. It will never happen in your life. Because it will control every breath that you have. Come on, you know what I'm talking about. You know how powerful your senses are. You go to the doctor says, well, you know, I'm not sure about it. And so all of a sudden, you start searching the internet for the worst things in the world that could ever come from that. And all you have, you have an ingrown toenail. Well, I know my ingrown toenail must come from something. So now you're dying. Your brain always takes you to the farthest. Your sensory realm always keeps you the furthest from Christ. You've got to make decisions in your life because the Bible says, I walk by faith and not by, come on, I walk by and not by, I walk by and not by. It's your circumstances. Your circumstances, your senses cannot control you. You've got to make a decision, and it is. Watch this now. It is a decision. And it's not always an easy decision. When you've ever been alone with your own brain, you know that. How many of you have lost a night's sleep? Usually it's because of worry, concern, fret, discouragement. Most of the time when you lose sleep, it's because of money, family issues. Let me ask you a question. When you lost sleep, did it fix itself by the morning? So you gave up peace to satisfy your senses instead of activating the supernatural power of God to be released to change the natural by the supernatural. See, this is the issue where if we're not taught, we don't know. And if we're not stretched, then we're going to stay. And it's time to grow. Can I hear an amen? Say, I want to go to another level. Come on, shout, I'm going to another level. That's right, it's a decision. You've got to make a decision that the faith level you're at is not where you're going to stay. The Bible's clear, there are faith levels. Romans chapter 12, verse 3, as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. Matthew 8, 26, and Jesus said to them, why are you fearful, O ye of little faith? Matthew chapter 15, verse 28. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is your faith. I love this part. Let it be to you as you desire. Faith had a direct connection for her answer. Luke 17, 5. And the apostle said to Jesus, increase our faith. You see, every one of us have been given a measure of faith. Every one of us had enough faith and have enough faith right now to be saved. I was just talking to a young man. And he was sharing some science with me in my office about, I won't even get into it. Not really. You'll see it this week on Facebook because I'm having it sent it to me because I can't even repeat it. About how the natural laws submit to the spiritual laws when they're activated by faith. It will amaze you to see how God correlated the earth with heaven. But when Adam and Eve made a choice not to follow Christ, not to obey Christ, but to rebel against God, literally, they then became slaves of their sensory realm. They then became slaves of their senses and of their circumstances. Where God is saying now, I've redeemed you from the curse of the law. I sent Jesus Christ, and he's given you all power over the authority and authority over the devil. I've given you the ability to walk in success and blessing and everything that I have for you. But you can't do that with natural law. You have to do that with spiritual law. Spiritual law is only activated by faith. It is the currency of heaven. You'll see that we've given everybody here a little piece of currency. The lion and the lamb are right there, and on the back, faith, the currency of the last days. Fight the good fight of true faith. Fight the good fight for the true faith. Hold tightly to the eternal life in which God has called you, which you have declared so well before many witnesses. You see, I gave you this. We gave you this for a reason, so that you can have it in your car. You can remind yourself where you struggle with your faith. Maybe it's at nighttime when you need to pick this up and read that verse just before you go to bed. Maybe it's in the morning. Maybe you don't feel good. I don't care what you feel. I know what the word says, that by his stripes you were healed. So you make a declaration about where you are, not your circumstances. As a believer, things have to change, or else you're going to constantly struggle. And someday, watch now, someday, Because the rain falls on the just and the unjust alike. Sometimes there are trials that come in our life that if you are not built up in faith, you're going to struggle. I've watched people, they give up in their faith. They walk away from God. And they walk away from God because they did not build their faith to a level. The capacity. And faith comes by hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing. And faith comes by hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing. Faith does not come by just being heard. That's why he works so desperately to keep you out of the house of faith. Keep you out of the Bible. You see, you just open the Bible, you think they're just words. They're not words. Jesus said, the words that I speak, they are spirit and life. The moment you start reading the Word of God, it starts feeding your spirit, man. All of a sudden, your faith level starts to grow. The more you start to grow, when the devil starts to come against you, you have an authority in Jesus' name. You have an understanding in Jesus' name. You can call those things which are not as though they already are. You are not subject to your circumstance. You are subject only to the kingdom of God. You are subject only to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. There's nothing impossible for him, who, for those who believe. It's time to call those things which are not as though they are. If I say unto this mountain, be thou removed, be cast into the sea, and do not doubt, I shall have what I ask. It's time to start being a believer. But the biggest thing we've got to control is our sensors. Because many of us place them as true facts when literally they're not. They are facts, but they're not the truth. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, I'd like you to turn there with me. I'm going to be quick. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. What is faith? Faith is everything about relationship. It's not faith in faith. It's knowing God. The more you know somebody, the more you trust somebody. So the less you're in the Word, the less you're in the house of God, the less you're around people of faith. Now listen, I'm just going to say this straight up. Some of you need to get rid of some of your friends. What it is you got people that are speaking doubt and unbelief in your life on a constant basis. Every time you start to aspire to grow closer to the Lord, they start dragging you down. Now listen now, I'm not saying they're not good folk. I'm not saying that God doesn't have a plan for them. Everybody, somebody to Jesus. But man, if they're not gonna listen and allow the Word to be seated, stop casting your pearls before the swine, and it's time to find faith people that will run with you, not against you. Can I hear an amen? So faith is everything about relationship. Saving grace, saving faith is phenomenal. Everyone's been given the measure. Saving faith is awesome. Now we're in relationship with Jesus. But then that's not where it stops. The disciples said, Lord, increase our faith. He said to others, O ye of little faith. He said to others, O ye of great faith. So where are you? That determination comes by how much we put more truth into the laws and the currency of heaven than into the currency of our circumstances and our physical senses. And I want you to know that's the challenge. Because when all of a sudden your body doesn't feel well, you have a choice to make. You can declare the word of God. The Bible says life and death are in the power of the tongue. Or you can declare what your senses say. You're coming into a financial trial, and all of a sudden, man, something's going on in your life, nothing you expected. You're a seeder, and you're a tither, and God says to you that his job is to take care of that, to rebuke the devourer. At that very moment, you have the ability to go into fear and allow that sense to control your life, or you have the ability to stand upon the word of God that says, I've never seen the righteous forsaken or a seed out begging for bread. See, the real fight is between those two collisions of different worlds that are there. And we've got to make a decision as believers that I choose to be a believer and not a doubter. I choose to be a believer and one that if God says it, it is so. And you see, that is where relationship comes in. You know, you ever been around somebody, you love them, and they've been your friend for many years. And then all of a sudden, you said something to them, and they looked at you and they said, I don't think that's true. It took your breath away. Well, I've never lied to you. I've never done anything to have you say that to me. Why would you even say that to me? We've had a great relationship. I've always been a good friend. I've always been there when you called me. I've never lied to you. And now all of a sudden they're doubting you. Can you imagine how God feels? God has never failed, not even once. But many times we rely more upon our senses than we do upon faith that God says it is so. And we look at God and say, I don't trust you. God, I don't believe you. I don't believe that by your stripes I was healed. I don't believe that God, that you said that I've never seen the righteous forsaken or seed out begging for bread. I don't believe that, God, so I've got to help you. See, we come to this place where we are in this collision, and we've got to make a conscious decision. Lord, and it is a conscious decision, and it is conscious and constant. The word of God says, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God for the pulling down of strongholds, bringing into captivity every thought and imagination that does what? That raises itself up against God. So here's one that our senses are used to. Are you ready? You go to the super, let's just say you go to Starbucks, because I know you guys like Starbucks better than what is that other place, McDonald's? And Dunkin' Donuts, right? You're very quiet this morning. Can't even get a rise out of you. Here you are, man. It's time to make a decision. What's your sense saying? What are you feeling? What do you want to do? Your emotions make a choice for you. Or the steps of a righteous man are ordered of the Lord. Every decision we make comes down to the same collision. But it's bringing your mind into captivity. You've got to choose to say, listen, mind, you don't have a right to think whatever you want. You don't have a right to say whatever you want. Say amen. Amen. Come on, you know you can't trust your mind. I've given this example for 15 to 20 years. Listen now, you get up in the morning, you look in the mirror, and you say, you fat thing, you need a diet. So you make a dedication that day that you're going to start dieting. You're not going to eat anything. You're not going to eat any sweets. That day you did good, man. And for breakfast you had eggs and bacon. And for you didn't even have any bread, man. For lunch you had salad. For supper, man, you had a good balanced supper and everything was good. And then that night you had your Christmas party at your workplace. So you go to the Christmas party and you walk in there and you've made a decision. I'm not going to have any sweets. I'm probably going to have the carrots and the celery dipped in that sauce, a ranch dressing. And I'm going to feel good because I'm going to keep control. All of a sudden, someone walks up to you and says, listen, I made chocolate chip cookies just for you. In fact, they're warm. And your brain says, come on now, it's okay, just eat one. You don't want to offend them. So you walk over, you grab that cookie, you put it in your mouth, you start chewing it. You can feel the salivation explosion as you feel the chocolate, and it's just merging with all the dough, and it's going down over your tongue, and Jesus is good. The moment it hits your stomach, you hear, you fat thing, I told you couldn't do it. The same brain that told you to go on the diet, the same brain that told you just to eat one, is the same brain that condemned you at the end. We've got to get to trusting God's word. We've got to get to a relationship with Jesus where if he says it, it is so, that the word's declaration is literally God's word, not a biblical reference, not just some religious book that we have on our shelf, but literally it is God's word. And I want you to hear me, that if you believe it's God's word, you know it's God's word. God will never, never lie. Faith is, it's present tense. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Most believers don't live by faith. the now, they live by the future. I'll believe it when I see it. That's not faith. I know God is going to do something. That's not faith. Either it's done or it's not. If it's in the Word, it's done. If it's in the Word, it's done. If it's in the Word, it's done. So when you're hoping it's going to happen in the future, but it's already done, do you actually trust that what he says is true? Collision. God's going to heal me. No, God already healed you. By his stripes you were healed. It's either were or hope to be. If it's hope to be, it's not faith. For faith is now, not future. God is not moved by your needs. God is not moved by your hope. God is moved only by faith. It is a law that has been set in heaven, and no matter how much you like it or how much you dislike it, if you don't believe in faith, then you cannot activate heaven, the supernatural, to be manifested here in the natural. Say amen or am I? Faith is actually agreeing with God. You ever walk up to somebody and go, you know, I just want you to know that I want to thank you so much for you're doing this in the future. And they go, what do you mean? I already did it. And you look at me and say, no. I mean, when you do it in the future. Well, no, I already did it. Unless two come to agreement, they can't walk as one. So many people stop believing what God has said. Either he did it or he didn't. Either it's accomplished or it's not. Either it's settled or it's not settled. If it's not settled, then you can communicate with him in that way. But when God says it is and it's done, then why are we asking him to do it again? It's already done. Faith calls those things which are not as though they already are. How? Because we believe that if the word says it, it is already accomplished before I can see it tangible in my hand. There's a difference. I told you it was a little meaty this morning. Coming down the driveway, I said, get out your fork and knife. Faith is agreeing with what God said, Luke 4:4. But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. If God said it, I believe it, it's so. Say it with me. If God said it, one more time. If God said it, I believe it, it's so. It's just like this. Watch this. All of a sudden, you come to a mountain. You come to a crevasse. And you have to make a choice and a decision. Are they coming? Oh, there it is. I'm sorry. Where is it? Help me. I don't know what's happening right now. There we go. We love standing over there because we can control over there to the best of our ability. But stepping out on nothing to land on something means you got to trust that the person who says step, son, jump. But dad, I can't see you. That's okay. I see you.
that if God says it, listen, you can trust him. There's no reason to doubt him. He's never done anything that would be a lie. If God said it, it is so. Listen, we've got to come to this place of trusting him again. And I know we maturate. We grow into that. And that's through our relationship with God. But listen, if you're never going to walk by faith, don't worry about it, because you'll never grow. You'll stay little faith or just barely a measure of faith. But God wants to be, wants you to be a giant in the faith. He wants you to speak unto mountains and see them removed. He wants you to call those things what are impossible as impossible and see them happen. God wants miracles and healings and deliverances like you've never seen before, but it can only happen by faith. Faith is now. This is tough. Like I said, I've been working with this for the last few weeks. And it's amazing, like even the normal greeting. How are you? How you feel? Good. What's that got to do with it if you're a believer? Because even if it felt like crap, by his stripes you were healed. So life and death are in the power of the tongue. What are you going to confess? Who are you going to agree with? God or your soul? God or your senses? Problems come in your marriage. There's no hope. Done. It's done, baby. God, why is there no hope? God's not going to be actively involved in your marriage. Well, why is that? Because you just disregarded him. You canceled God coming from heaven to earth in your marriage. Your children need help. Maybe you need money. Your active thought process, your active reality, and your vocalization, for out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Faith is either being revealed that will activate the laws of heaven, the currency of heaven, that will bring your answer down to your natural world, or you cancel the supernatural, and God sits back and he says, they don't even believe me. Do you believe God? Is God truly supernatural? Is God actually able to do abundantly above all you could even ask or imagine? Is God big enough to heal the sick? Is God big enough to bring finances and to do what you need in your monies? Is God big enough to save your family? Is God big enough? Is God big enough to build his house? Is God big enough to make success? Is God big enough? He is big enough, for nothing's impossible for him. But the problem is not him. The problem is we disconnect by our lack of faith. We've got to start growing our faith. Can I hear an amen? I'm almost done. I'm sorry I preached long today. But I told first service that I couldn't finish it, so they would have to watch. Now faith is, what is it? Now. When is now? Now. What do you need? What do you need? Let me ask you a question. What needs did you come with in this church this morning? Do you have a financial need? Do you have an emotional need? Do you have a physical need? What is the need you came in with this morning to God's house? My question is, do you have it now? Or are you hoping for it in the future? If God is now, you can activate heaven. If you're just hoping, now the Bible says, now faith is, come on now, let's read the verse. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for. Hope plays a big part in that. Hope is important because hope is the goal setter, but it's not the activator. You want to write that one down. Hope is the goal setter, but it's not the activator. Hope cannot activate heaven to manifest on earth. The great part is that we're believing God for some substance. Now, faith is the substance. What is substance? Substance is that contact that our sense realm touches and gets a hold of. It's that tangible thing you're believing for. That's substance. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. This is what really helped me a lot. And I'm almost done. Really, I pray that you get this. The Word of God is our yes and amen. The Word of God is truth.
The Word of God is God's Word from heaven to us. It is God, Christ, in the flesh that came and dwelt among us. It is not a religious book. So I have to make a decision. If I'm believing God, let's just say healing. I'm believing God for a healing. I get up, I feel crappy, my body hurts, I don't feel good. Let's just say sometimes it's even more serious than that. Say a disease is on your body. I have to make a choice at that very moment. I have to make a decision at this very moment. Am I going to say, yes, I feel horrible. Yes, I feel horrible. And man, I'm probably going to die. Or are you going to say that by his stripes, I was healed? Now watch. I'm not telling you to deny the facts. But I'm telling you to declare the truth. When the truth is higher than the facts, then your faith has activated heaven to be released on earth. When you are not believing the truth above your facts, then your sensory realm is now controlling everything that happens around you. Now you're going to walk in fear. Now you're going to walk in defeat. Now you're going to walk always wondering when the next step is going to be. I want you to hear me now. Christ has called you to be free and free indeed. And that can't happen when we live by our senses. Now watch. The Word of God is yes and amen. The Bible says, now, faith is the substance. You can interchange because you can't have faith without the Word, and you can't have the Word without faith. Now, the Word is the substance of things hoped for. It is the evidence of things not seen. How does faith work? Sickness again. Lord, you know what the doctors told me. But I have your word, what you said. So God, I put my faith in the word until the substance appears. Say it again. I put my faith, my declaration in the word until the substance appears. You see, you don't need faith once the substance has appeared. You now have it. But until you have it, you have to have faith in truth. That's the word. That's why the enemy works so hard to keep you out of the Bible. So here we are. Go to the doctor, bad report. God, I thank you that your word is truth. Lord, I declare, I thank you that the doctors are doing all that they can. I thank you, God, that they're not evil people. I thank you, Lord, that they have my best interest. But Lord, you are the great physician. And I declare according to your word that by your stripes I was healed. It says in the book of Isaiah chapter 53, verse 1, whose report will you believe? I choose to believe the report of the Lord. Can I hear an amen? And then you know what happens. Then your senses start firing. That's crazy. Why would you think that way? Man, the doctors know more than you do. No. You got to bring into captivity every thought and imagination that raises. Shut up, mind. I declare the word of truth. I declare the Bible. And you start declaring the scripture over your life. And what you're doing is you're activating faith. And now heaven starts to move. Now heaven's answers start to be released. Now God can send a miracle where there was no miracle to be had in the sense realm. But now all of a sudden, you'll find heaven start to invading earth. You start finding heaven start to be released in your body. And now the miraculous supernatural power of God is now setting you free and free indeed. That's how faith works. Now the opposite side is, I don't believe it. Well, you know what they told me. You know how bad it is. Who you believe in? You got to make a choice. This is where it gets challenging as a believer. But if you're never taught this and you never know how to live this. When I have trouble or I see an impossibility, I find in the scripture whether God says I have it or not. And if I have it, I can put faith in the word of God and have substance. I can stand on this word and know that no matter what comes my way, if God said it, he cannot lie. And if he lies, baby, let's just all go home. because nothing but a false religion. But God's word is truth. And if God's word is truth, then I can stand it. Why doubt it? He's never done anything to create the doubt. Why would I doubt what he says? But what you really believe is what you really speak. And so you have to make a choice. What are my words going to say? Am I going to stand on the substance? Or am I going to stand to my senses? Senses I'll always lose. The word I'll always win. Isn't it crazy that there is a collision? It sounds insane that there would even be a collision. But you want to know why there is? Because it's so easy to walk in the flesh and not walk in the spirit. And if you're not filled with the word, then your faith is weak. And if your faith is weak, then the first foundation you land upon is what you've always known, not the truth. My challenge for you is this. Will you be a person who walks by faith or senses? I have to make decisions every day. I have to declare the word every day. Even when it looks impossible. You're sitting in an impossibility. There was no bank that would ever do anything for us. We needed $1.1 million. There was no way to get a loan here. We didn't have, they want 30% usually. We didn't have $300,000 in the bank. But I know what God showed me. And I know what God spoke to me. And I made a decision. That no matter how bad what people said to me, Pastor, you're out of your mind. That's not going to work. That will never happen. It didn't matter what people said to me. I know what God said to me, and God is truth. And I don't care what anybody else says. But what if it doesn't work? I'd rather die. I'd rather die a believer any day. You're sitting in a miracle. You like those chairs? It's $65 a piece. I had to pray those chairs in. You like the air conditioning? We got to turn it on soon. I'm getting hot. Just the electric from the road to here was over almost $50,000 just to bring it down. How did that happen? Because I chose to look at something impossible and say there's nothing impossible for God. If God said it, I believe it, and it is so. When she was diagnosed with cancer, we didn't tell anybody. You want to know why we didn't tell anybody? We didn't need any sensory people. They told her that they were going to cut dice and she would never be the same. She would never be normal. The last test she went in, they actually said, now it's in your lymph node system. They tattooed her body portion. This is where we're going to cut it. My wife said, doctor, one more test before you do any cutting. And what are we saying the whole time? Jesus, we thank you that by your stripes I was healed. Jesus, we thank you that you paid the price. Jesus, we thank you that you are the miracle worker. Jesus, we thank you. We didn't allow sensory people to come in our life. We didn't allow that at that moment. That's why you didn't know. I was preaching a whole series on it and you didn't even know about it. She went back. And the test came back that there was no more cancer in her colon and that tattoo was gone. And the doctor said, I don't believe it. That's not possible. If cancer's there, it can't disappear. That's what he told us. He said, and my wife said, do whatever you got to do to prove it to yourself. He said, like 12 or 14 biopsies. And they do all this by measuring internal. This is not like, boy, I hope this is the right spot. They did 12 or 14 biopsies. Then they sent it down to the Mayo Clinic. And it came back, no cancer. Now, they still don't believe that, but they can't find it. Their statement is, we can't find anything, but we know it must still be there. And listen, they're medical, and them, they're more scientific than they are biblical.
That's why when you find a good Christian doctor, man, you want to hang on because he'll believe in faith with you. But here you are. That's how we had to work to get her miracle. Or I don't know what she'd be right now. I don't know what she would be like right now. I don't know what would have happened to her body right now. I don't know if she'd be here. She might be dead. Don't wait to build your faith when you come to that level of catastrophe. Build your faith now. Build your faith now. Get into the Word now. Get into the Scripture now. Get hungry now. Feed your faith now. Faith comes by hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing. Woo! And hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing. Faith comes by hearing and hearing and hearing. Faith comes by hearing and hearing and hearing. Not just heard. Some of you heard the gospel a long time ago, and that's as far as you went. It's time to hear, hear, hear. It's time to grow. You're never going to grow big enough. My faith is not big enough. My faith is not large enough. I've got to believe God for this building to be paid off. I've got to believe God for a new building to be built up. That's going to be seating 2,500 souls. It's going to cost about $7 million. Where's that coming from? I don't care. I watch God do this. How could I doubt him do that? Do you believe God? Or do you believe more your senses? Bow your heads with me this morning. Faith is now. Faith is now. That's why we give a salvation call. Because you've got to activate the faith you have now to be saved. Faith is now. Today, if you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, I'm not asking you to join a church. I'm not asking you to join a religion. I want you to know this Jesus. And the more you know him, the more you're going to walk in victory. The more you know him, the more you're going to walk in power. The more you know him, the more faith you're going to have, the more trust you're going to have, and you're going to be able to look at your problems and not be in fear, not be in wonder, but you're going to be a person that will be able to faith, to be able to look under this mountain, say to it, and see God do supernatural things. Today's the question. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, or maybe you're in a backslidden condition, you need to get saved. Stop deceiving yourself. The Word is truth. Holy Spirit's already working on you. Today, if you'd like to receive Christ as your Savior, I'd like you to slide your hand up. I want to lead you to the best friend you're ever going to have. Is there anyone this morning that would like Jesus Christ to come into their life? God's been drawing on your spirit. You want to activate your faith to be saved. Is there anyone in the room? I'm just going to count down 5, 4, 3. Get your hand up. 2. Last call. Thank you, ma'am. Is there anyone else? Thank you very much, honey. And last call. And 1. Let's all stand to our feet. You know why I do that? Why I count down is because you don't know that that will be your last call. But 2, it gives you a place to release your faith. You got to release your faith. We're going to get into that in the next few weeks. You don't want to miss this, the rest of this series. It's going to change your life. Literally, change your life. Some of you have walked in defeat, that roller coaster ride with Jesus. It's time to get off the ride. Can I hear an amen? It's time to live in victory. It's time to live in the power, in the peace of God, in the power of God, in the joy of God, no matter what you're facing. That's what Christ has for you, consistency. I'm going to have the prayer team come to the front of the altar. If you raised your hand this morning for salvation, you want God to come into your life. I know there are two folks that raised their hands. What I'd like you to do is I'd like you to be brave. Can everybody turn to the person next to you and say, if you didn't raise your hand but you would like to, I'll go up with you. Come on, tell them right now. Let them know. If you didn't raise your hand but you want to go up, I'll go with you. If you raise your hand for salvation, come right out of your chair. Come on up here. Come on, give everybody a hand clap that's coming. Thank you right here, honey. Right here. I'm so proud of you. So proud of you. You'll never be the same again, baby girl. This is a whole change in life. Amen. This is Mindy. She's going to pray with you. Maybe you're just a little timid. When we dismiss the service, you're more than welcome to come on up and meet with Mindy. But today, I need you to do something. I need you to confront your collision. I want you to judge your words. The Bible says when we stand before the Bema Seat of Christ, we're judged for 2 things, our words and our works. I want you to judge your words, even the ones that run through your mind. Do they agree with God or not? I had a teenager, I'll end with this.
teenager come up to me and said, what do you think about rock and roll? Is there anything wrong with listening to rock and roll? I says, all you need to do is compare the words with the word. If the words agree with the word, then it's not bad rock and roll. If the words contradict the word, then you shouldn't be listening to it. Question is what do you have in your head? What are you feeding? Feed your faith. It's time to be a giant. Can you turn to someone and say, it's time to be a giant? Come on, tell somebody else it's time to be a giant. Father, I thank you right now in Jesus' name for this great people of God. I thank you, Lord, that they are your church, they are your body, they are your ambassadors, they are your authority, they are your power on this earth. And I thank you, God, that as we go out into this world, we're going to be walking by faith and not by sight. That, God, we're going to live in victory and not defeat. We're going to live in healing and not sickness. We're going to live in deliverance and not bondage. We are the people of God in Jesus' name. And we take authority over our sensory realm and declare that we are more than conquerors through Christ Jesus our Lord. In Jesus' name, and everybody shouted. Amen. I love you. Serve God with all of your heart. Make sure you put your currency right where you need to see it.